By the way, we have a no refund policy here at Living Word, just to let you know. You give it, you got to live it. All right. It's time for breakthrough. Turn to Psalms 107 with me. It's a hard life, isn't it? It's hard. Annie sung a song, right? The classical Annie movie. It's a hard knock life. You know, it's hard. We have many challenges through our life, and there's no promise that because we're saved and because that, you know, we're serving God that all is well all the time. And I think that's a misconception. We have a hard life. We have sickness that attacks us. We have disappointments that attack us. Somebody told me this morning, I'm going to stop answering my telephone because every time it's something not good. You know, our lives seem to be governed that way a lot. We have a lot of challenges. But I'm going to tell you something. God did not intend for us to stay bound and to stay under a stronghold and to stay chained up by those things. Dee sang a perfect song for this morning that there truly is peace in the Lord. No matter what we're going through or what we're battling, when we reflect back on who God is and who we are in God, we all of a sudden have a peace that passeth all understanding. To realize, though I'm facing storms, I know who my storm calmer is. Though I'm facing battles, I know who my commander-in-chief is. Though I'm battling giants, I know who my giant slayer is. We're constantly reminded of who God truly is in our lives. We don't need to live bound. Too many of us live by what we've been, what we've done, and who we think we are. We live by the past. We live by the guilt. We live by the shame. We've lived by what's been told to us. We live by our past hurts. We live by our past disappointments. And we think that's who we are. When God says, don't let any of those things bind you and make you who you are. For I come, Jesus said, I came that the captives would be set free. I come to heal the brokenhearted. I come to set them that were captive free at liberty and let them go. And we live our lives so bound by what the enemy has put into our lives. And we listen to that voice, we listen to that lie whenever God says it's time for breakthrough. You know what a breakthrough is? It means that we get to the other side. It means we come out of it. It means we don't stay in it. It means we're not bound by where we're at, but we come through that on the other side, looking back saying, yeah, I had breakthrough in my life. There was a breakthrough that happened. And we think breakthrough's never going to happen for us because, you know, Melanie said this morning, yeah, she's been a little whiny the last couple of days, and that's understandable. But, you know, she's like, you know, can't seem to catch a break. You know, this happens and this happens. Are you serious? And this happens. And it's kind of like, you know, cartoon figure with that dark cloud, or where you go in the lightning bolt, where you go, you know. And understand, God doesn't want us to stay under that dark cloud. We weren't meant to travel under, wasn't there a Charlie Brown character under a cloud? Wouldn't one of them characters have a, maybe I'm thinking wrong, Peanuts? Yeah, there was, right? Yeah. And sometimes we feel that way. The dark cloud's over us. But when we truly realize, you know what? God doesn't want me to stay under this dark cloud. There is a day dawning. There's a light for me. There's a better morning waiting. And I'm not going to let the devil keep me chained up because of what I've done or where I've been or the circumstances that's came into my life. Because life is hard, but the old saying, God is good. And that truly is true. God is bigger than our strongholds. God is bigger than our chains. God is bigger than our past. God is bigger than our guilt. God is bigger than all things. So we got to remind ourselves who God is. Let's read the scripture in Psalm 107, verse 1. Love how it starts. Let me find it first. Love how it starts out here. Starts out by saying, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. That's a long time, right? I mean, we use that expression sometimes in our lives, you know. How long you been a Cowboys fan? Oh, forever. Well, really, you haven't been one forever because you wasn't, I mean, well, I get, well, you have been forever, I guess, in the mind of God. But you know what I'm saying? You've not really been here physically forever. We say that expression, oh, forever. How long you like Big Macs? Oh, forever. How long you like, you know, classical music? Oh, forever. Well, God loves us. And his mercy endures forever. That means his mercy endureth through all of our scars, through all of our pain, through all of our disappointments, through all of our heartache. And there are some heartbroken people in this generation. I mean heartbroken. There are people that absolutely are so lost and have no direction of where they belong, who they belong to, or what their life should be about. They are lost. I mean, completely in a fog, clueless of where or what God, if there is a God in their mind, what they want Him, what they need to be done in their lives. They're clueless. And they stay in that trap. And they bounce from disappointment to disappointment. And if we're not careful, we allow past failures or past disappointments or past hurts to define our everyday life. And if we're not careful, it shackles us. And we walk around in chains, never enjoying life. I said last Sunday, it's time to enjoy living again. You know, there's a lot of fear going among. And I preached on this Wednesday night. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, I preached on Wednesday night. And I talked about how the fear of what's happening in our world, you know. And I told Christian, we were talking about it last night. And she's like, I'm just on edge with all this attacks going on and blah, blah, blah. I said, look, you know, we got to trust God on this. We can't live. I'm going to tell you something. Church, we can't let evil, foolish, antichrist enemies to chain us down and tell us how to live and where to live. I live in the liberty of the Holy Spirit. I live under the covenant of a Lamb of God. I'm blood bought, sanctified, justified, and glorified, redeemed from the curse, and I belong to the King. And that's all I need to know. I belong to the King. And I'm not going to let what society or the news says keep me in fear of going here or going there or traveling here or traveling there. Because my God is with me everywhere I travel. Every step my foot takes, the presence of God is there with me, watching me and protecting me. And if I don't think God can protect me from ISIS, what do I believe in at all? My God, He is the captain of hosts. He's the King of armies. He's over all things. Don't let the fear of this generation put you in a box and start trying to cause you to even think differently. I serve the Master, and I'm His child, and I will not be afraid for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence in the night. For there is a God of armies on my right side and on my left side, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. For God Himself will close the mouth of the lion for my sake. That's the God I serve. That's the God you serve. Do you understand that? That's the God you serve. Don't be bound by that. It's time for a breakthrough. People want us to be afraid. They want us to live in fear. The devil wants us to live in bondage all of our lives, because when we're in bondage, we're no good to nobody. And it's time we start. Do you remember a day, Grandma, do you remember a time in your life? Maybe you are now. I'm not saying you're not. But a time in your life when you loved life. You just enjoyed living. You were happy. You were happy. Y'all remember a time you were happy? We don't see that as much anymore, do we? Everyone's so discouraged. Everyone's so long-faced. Everyone's so overwhelmed. Everyone's carrying such a burden. Everyone, you know, is carrying this anvil on their head and just looks so. I remember a time when I was happy before I got married. I just play it. I remember a time when I was happy. You know, me and Melanie got married, and life is good. We have our firstborn, life is great. Have our secondborn, life is great. You know, have our thirdborn, life is great. And then somehow, I don't know, in the mix of life, things just started to change, didn't it? And all of a sudden, we start not enjoying life as much. We start questioning life. We start not wanting to get out of bed the next morning. We're like, what's the use of getting up, and what's my day going to be like? And it's time that, you know why we don't enjoy life? Because we need a breakthrough again. We've been too bound by what life has dictated versus what God has said. We've been too bound by what the world offers us instead of what God one time offered us. And that was everlasting life. So when you know who you belong to, when you know where you're going, when you know who you serve, we should walk life with joy again and with happiness again and with peace again. Because, see, the devil can do a lot of things. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not one of these preachers say, oh, the devil. We understand the Bible's clear. The devil's like a roaring lion roaming to and fro. There's a very active force of evil in the world. There's a very active force of demonic warfare in the world that is happening right now. In the atmosphere that we can't see, in the rim our eyes can't behold, there is spiritual activity going on. And so I'm not one to say, oh, the devil. We understand the power of the enemy against our lives. But there's some things the devil cannot ever rob us of. There's some things the devil, the one thing the devil cannot take away from us, and that is the seed of faith that we placed our lives in the hands of Jesus. And he can attack our bodies and try to divide our homes and divide our children and, you know, cause chaos in our lives. But we remind him, okay, so you come against me and attack me here, attack me here, attack me here. But you know what? You've not stopped my destination. You've not stopped my journey. You've not stopped where I'm going to end up. I still belong to the King. I'm still his child. I'm still born again by the blood of Jesus. And I will walk in that heavenly rim when my time comes. And you can't do nothing about it. All the hell you bring against me cannot take the kingdom that's been placed in me. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. So yeah, life's stressful. Life's hard. But when we're reminded, I'm not going to let those hardships rob me. I told Melanie, you know, we're still very young. I mean, we really are. I know we're young. We're still hot and young. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you this. The longer you live, the more you realize how short life is. You know, me and Melanie are at an age in the natural that if I live as long as I've already lived, it'll be considered a pretty decent life. A real decent life, actually. Oh, gosh, that's scary. And for some of you, tomorrow's the blessing. Sorry. I'm just saying. For Doc, when he wakes up, I beat the odds again. Thank you, Lord. And so the longer you live, you start, and I told Mel, I said, you know what, we need to enjoy life again. I mean, why do we let the devil keep us so discouraged when life is so wonderful, when there's such beauty in life that we fail to see because all we see is our problems? And for our young generation, I've got three of them, for our young generation, three kids, we see that stress on their lives of the future. We see that anxiety already of what if I can't make it or how hard it's going to be. Instead of saying, you know, I mean, me and Melanie, we got married. Y'all remember this when you got married. Man, it was a wonderful time. I mean, hopefully, if you married the right one, it was a wonderful time. I mean, my God, it's your wedding day. You're marrying your bride, your groom, you know, you're standing at the altar and you're holding hands and you're beginning a new life together as husband and wife. And you got the whole world ahead of you. Me and Melanie got married young. I was 20, right at 21, she was 18. And we got married and we moved into our home and I carried her across the threshold. Okay. I carried her across the threshold. And in our new little home. And gosh, we didn't care we didn't have no money. We didn't, and I told you before, I'm being honest. We didn't care we had to finance our kitchen table and chairs, finance the refrigerator, finance a microwave, finance bed sheets. You know what I'm saying? Finance a pillow. Finance a washer and dryer. We had a new home, and we didn't care if we was broke. We were in love. For all of you to say, I'm going to wait till I have money. Well, either you don't love that person, or you're deceiving yourself because you ain't ever have enough money to get married or stay married or get divorced. I mean, you ain't got no money to do none of it. So you live life. You enjoy it. I told Melanie, we need to start enjoying life and quit letting all the things of the world discourage us and make us a recluse and a hermit because we're so depressed and can't go anywhere and can't do anything because we've let them out there or the spirit realm dictate how we live our lives. I am bought with a price. The Bible tells me that. I, James Lewis, have been bought with a price. What is that price? The blood of Jesus has purchased me from the wrath of hell, from the wrath of the grave, from the appointment with death. I will not taste death as a man of God, as a child of God. I will never taste death because the life has raised me up. And that gives us joy. Hallelujah. We should walk in that joy. I'm only on verse 2. Okay. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can y'all say you're redeemed in here? Can I get an amen? We are redeemed. Redeemed means bought back. It means repurchased. We've been redeemed from He hath redeemed us from what? The hand of the enemy. So we don't have to stay in that bondage. He's gathered out of the land from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. I want to picture this. Now, he's talking about gathering different parts of the region, but let's talk about it spiritually. He's gathered people from all walks of life, every direction. He's gathered from this direction, from this lifestyle, from this place. He's gathered all of his people together into one family. He rescued us. Jesus rescued us. We had to be rescued. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, and they found no city to dwell in. Do you feel like you're wandering around in no man's land? I've been there so many times. I'm in no man's land. Where am I at? I'm in the middle of between two things, but I'm nowhere. And we got a people wandering around trying to find where they fit and where they belong, but they have no city. They have no settling place to have any peace. And that's why we're seeing drug use on an all-time rise. More people died last year of overdose than car accidents. And that's the first time in I don't know how many years that's happened. Because people are trying to find a city to dwell in. Somewhere that makes sense. Something that settles them. Something that gives them peace. But as Dee sung, we know there's no true peace found in a bottle or an appeal. Peace is found in God alone. That's where true peace is found. Because everything else wears off. The high wears off. The soberness, you know, you come back into reality and you're still facing all the same problems. But when you have the peace of God, it's amazing how you can face those problems and still have peace. You know, you ever been in a situation where it looked like a crisis in your life and somehow you were just able to look at that and say, you know what? I just trust God. I can't even explain it, but I trust God. That's real peace. That's peace that goes beyond our own understanding. And God wants us to have that peace. Verse 5, they're hungry, they're thirsty, and their soul fainted. We got so many people that are hungry and thirsty for something, but they're not filling it with the right thing. They're filling it with what the world offers. They're filling it with what people tell them. They're filling it with what they think they can do in their own abilities. They're filling it with money, filling it with life, filling it with career, filling it with wrong relationships. I mean, how many people go to wrong relationships out of desperation? Well, I don't want to be alone. He'll take me. I don't want to be alone. She'll have me. It's better than nothing. It's better than being alone. And we'll get into those relationships and find out how broken, more broken we become by being with that person. Instead of waiting on God saying, Lord, you can feel my hunger and you can feel my thirst and you can feel my desire if I wait on you. Because he's the only thing that can satisfy. They cry to the Lord in their trouble. That's what we should be doing. They cried to the Lord. And he delivered them out of their distresses. God will deliver you if you cry unto him. If you ask for help, he will deliver you. Now, look, I'm not saying it'll happen at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'm not saying it's going to happen by next Tuesday or 4 months from now. But I believe that when we cry out to God, he gives us an inner peace and a strength to carry on through the storm until the end of the storm. Until it passes, because it will pass. Every storm passes. Look back at your life and where you were that you thought you would never feel better. You would never get out of it. You would never, ever have a smile again. You would never have any joy again. You would never have any peace again. You would never have any happiness again. But then something comes along in life and yes, you're rekindled. Every storm passes. Cry to God and let him deliver you today what you're holding on to. He led them by the right way that they might go into a city of habitation, a settling place, a place that's... Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. I saw something on Facebook somebody shared. I shared it on Living Word page. I thought it was a powerful statement. It says that when... How's it worded? When we worship God, his... See, when we get in God's... It was good. Anyway, go to the page. Somebody, his presence, and we, anyway. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Don't we need some goodness filled? You know, we just need to be satisfied. And, you know, when you're raising kids or if you're married or whatever, if you're single, I mean, everybody has their own battle, their own demons. Everybody. And to know that God is able to satisfy my hunger and my soul with goodness. The world doesn't offer anything that's really good. But what God gives us completes us. It fills us. It satisfies us. Do you know God knows you're hungry? Remember what Jesus said, blessed are those that thirst and hunger after righteousness, for my name they shall be filled. You will be filled. We hunger for God, he's going to fill us. We got to hunger for him again. There's a generation that want to hunger for God. Is this you today? You're sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death. You're bound in affliction and iron. Bound. You're bound. You're shackled in your darkness. Look at the next verse. Because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. You ever been at a point in your life where nobody could help you? You feel like nobody could help you. You know, as a pastor, I do a lot of counseling and, of course, a lot of funerals, a lot of that stuff. And I realize there are words that I say that can make zero difference. But God can. And God's hands and God's strength and God's words can come into our lives when no man can speak to us. Somehow from that throne of God, the Holy Spirit can speak such a profound word into our lives that it breaks our chains. We need God's Spirit to break our chains. We are not supposed to be bound, church, to discouragement and bound to fear and bound to depression. It's time for a breakthrough. It's time we let those things roll off and we start walking again as though there's no end to life. For the Christian, there is no end to life. There truly isn't. I do believe there's a different teaching on this, and I understand that. You know, I don't get all that this morning, but I believe that there's, I don't know, our realm is different than God's realm, but I believe there's a continual awareness of the presence of God even after our physical body goes on. I don't believe that we're dormant somewhere and lifeless and have no conscience until the resurrection. I don't believe that. I believe there's an immediate awareness, an immediate presence that we are in the presence of God, that there's no separation. I mean, you have to understand, God created us, and this soul was in us. And though the body may rust away, the soul doesn't. The soul's a living thing. And it goes on forever. That's just what I believe. And this should give us comfort to realize, you know what? I'm not going to face that time away from God. No separation. They that cry to the Lord in their trouble, he saved them out of their distresses. He saved them. In your trouble, cry out to God. He'll save you. He'll help you. He wants to help you. There's nothing God desires more than we depend upon him. You know, if you're a good man in here, how many good men we got in here? Ain't good men? I am. Thank you, Doc. Me and Doc, two good men. All right. Me and Doc, good men. There's nothing a good man would rather do than his wife depend on him. Don't you like Debbie depending on you? I know she's very independent and strong-willed. But don't you like, Doc, when she depends on you for something? Makes you feel good, don't it? That's my wife. I'll take care of you, Debbie. I love you. I got your back. I want Melon depending upon me. Now, for these weak, weenified guys, I ain't talking to y'all. I'm talking to the ones that want to be a man. To say, you know what? Depend on me. Because I'm going to take you to the promised land, girl. Yes, sir. You follow me. We there. You just hang on to the Superman coat. And I'll lead the way. We like that. I love when Melanie depends on me. I love when she says, you know, and Melanie's very independent too. And Melanie would probably do very, you know, very good without me, which really makes me hurt my heart. But anyway, I know she depends on me too in some ways. And I'm thankful for that. And you know what? Credit to all you women, I depend on her too for things. You're welcome. I depend on her for a lot of things. I truly do. I depend on her to do my laundry. And do my, like, I depend on Melanie to do stuff. And I want to tell you something about Melanie. She's been a good grounding force for me. You know, and I, she's been a grounding force in our marriage for when, because she is one, because we're wired different. I'm telling you, we are wired completely different. Melon's the type, que sera, sera, what is, is. I'm not worried about it. I was bringing something last night to her, and she's like, you're already thinking that far ahead? I mean, my God, let it happen. I'm way ahead, and she's in the moment. I'm in the future, and she's in the moment. And so there's times she grounds me and brings me back to reality and says, hang on, and settles me. And I appreciate that. I need that. She grounds me. She's grounded me through the ministry many years, very much grounded me. And so I need her too. So God wants us to need him. He's honored when we call upon him and say, Lord, there's none to help. I cry to you. I'm going to tell you, I believe this. When we want it bad enough, we'll cry to God. When we really want it bad enough, when a person is desperate and broken enough that that's the only thing left, they will call out to God, and then it'll be real because it'll be total abandonment to self and others and full surrender to him. Sometimes we hang on to both, don't we? We try to pray to God and let him have it, but then we still do it ourselves. But when we have full surrender to God, I love this verse. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he break their bands asunder. He broke their chains in half. God can break your strongholds in half. God can break your discouragement. God can break your shame and your guilt and your condemnation. God can break your fears, your oppression, your anxiety. God can break it in half and bring healing into your life. That's what my God can do when we cry out to him. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Here it is again, for his goodness, for his wonderful works, the children of men. Look at verse 19, Psalms 107. They cry to the Lord again in their trouble. He saveth them out of their distresses. Look at this verse. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. God sent his word. Look at the next verse, Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Glory, he sent his word, and that word was made flesh, and that word dwelt among us. That word hung on a cross. That word came out of a tomb. That word ascended to heaven, and that word established the kingdom, and that same word broke our chains forever in this earth. That's the God we serve. Don't stay bound one more day. Yes, life's hard. Don't mean everything will go away. But man, we can just sing in the, as the old saying, we can't stop the rain, we can sure dance in it. Remember the old movies in the 40s? I'm singing in the rain. Going around that pole, I'm singing in the rain. He was happy it was raining. Why? He was in love. When you're in love, you're happy. When you're in love with God, you're happy. Because I love you, Lord. And I know you love me. And I know you're going to take care of me. As Melanie depends on me as her husband to take care of her, I depend on God to take care of me and my family. So when it's raining, I can just swing around that pole and say, I'm singing in the rain. Because God made the rain, and God made the sun, and God made it fun. And so I love you, Lord. I love all you more. I mean, just we could just sing and sing. Usually I can rap off pretty good. That was terrible. I do it at home sometimes. I can rap off some good stuff, can't I? Anyway, so we sing and we dance. No matter what life brings, it's okay. Transmission goes out, just money. Just money, right? Something breaks down the house, you got to fix it. That's just life. Everything in life doesn't mean the devil's against you. You know, this ain't water boy. That's the devil. That's the devil. That's the devil. She's the devil. She's the devil. Everything ain't the devil. It's life. Transmissions go out because Americans make them. I'm sorry. They're going to go out. It just happens. I mean, we don't know what the next phone call holds. We don't know what the knock on the door holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. That's the key. We know who holds tomorrow, and God wants to break our chains. A couple more verses, we'll get to the end here. He maketh the storm a calm, so the waves are still. Oh, isn't that beautiful? He can calm your storm. Melanie's got an expression she uses. I don't know how she comes up with it. She made it up, I guess. That when she gets like overstressed, she calls it overstimulated. She does something. I want you to demonstrate to the church what you do, Melanie. Woosa. Whatever that means. But she gets overstressed. She'll go, woosa. And it like calms her down. That's what God does. Woosa. Calm down. I can steal the waters. He sure didn't steal them on the carnival, but anyway, that's another story. Steal the waters and make them calm. There's going to be waves in our lives that come, and our faith truly is tested. Faith's not truly faith if we don't have to have faith to face it, right? When things are going good, there's no faith involved in that. I mean, there's no thing, there's no, you know, somebody comes up to me and says, hey, you know, if I'm worried about lunch today because I'm broke, just saying if I am, and then somebody says, hey, Pastor, we'll take you to lunch today. Oh, yeah. That's a good thing. But if nobody asks me and I'm still broke, then I got to figure out, okay, am I going to believe God's going to provide? No, I'm not. I'm not saying. I'm just using an example. Provide, or is he not going to provide? Because challenges that come against our lives truly test where we are with God. And I'm learning that myself. I told you that when we was on that cruise, I learned a lot about my spiritual condition. Because I thought I was all that in a bag of chips and found out I wasn't nothing. I was what? It was lacking. I mean, I'm serious. I'm like, God, why am I? But see, I think my thought is I'm a claustrophobic person, which is weird. Now, I can be in a small room as long as I can get out. That don't bother me. It's not tight spaces that bother me. It's a lack of escape that bothers me. I can sleep in a closet 4x4 all night long as long as I know I can turn that knob and get out. But if that knob gets welded off, I'm freaking like a maniac. And so, I mean, I'm funny that way. I don't go to single bathrooms because sometimes the doors jam. If it's a single bathroom, I ain't going. I'll go somewhere else. I'm serious. I'm that bad. So on that ship, I think the deal was that I'm out in the middle of the sea, and though I'm not in a tight space, I'm pretty trapped. I can't walk on water. I can't swim 55 miles without getting eaten by sharks. And, I mean, I'm stuck. I'm on this metal thing floating in the middle of nowhere, no land in sight, and the waves are going like this, and there's fire coming out of the engine, and the boat stops, and the captain says some foreign language which sounds really scary, and people are looking around like, oh my God, what do we do? And I'm sitting there thinking, we're trapped, we're going down. I mean, I really heard the Titanic song in my mind. I started hearing that. I'm like, oh my gosh. I even told Melanie, should we call the kids and tell them we're going down? I mean, I was at a point, and once again, Melanie grounded me. She goes, James, just because a boat ain't moving don't mean it's still floating. And I went, oh, yeah, it is still floating. Yeah, you're right. But then I'm thinking, well, what if while it's sitting here, something hits the hull and puts a hole in it, and we start, I mean, I'm always going. And so I learned a lot about myself. Yeah, big faithful Pastor James, I was a crybaby. It's like, oh my gosh. And so I recognize we all need our faith strengthened. But see, it's weird. I got faith on other things. Man, I'll tell you that I've been very strong on other issues of our lives. There's things I have been, you know, strong about. Just not that. I'll just keep in a car next time. I can pull off anywhere. Verse 30, then they are glad. Because they be quiet. So and look at this. I love this. He bringeth us to our desired haven. God can bring you to your desired position. None of us want to be depressed. None of us enjoy waking up discouraged. How many times have you told yourself, I need to just shake it off, but I can't. I need to just shake it off, but it just stays on me. And I can't seem to get free from it. Well, God has a breakthrough that he has for you, that you can shake it off and get rid of those chains and not walk and live the way you live, bound by the enemy. Last verse. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works. breakthrough. Instead of a breakdown, need a breakthrough. There's a lot of breakdowns. There's a lot of people in a breakdown mode. And we need to be strong again and recognize that only God can help us with life. You know, we have our young generation staying at home longer than ever before. There's more people under 30 still living with their parents than any other generation. And you know what part of the problem is? In my opinion, I'm a father, I can say this, I've got three kids, is that we coddle our kids so much that they don't know reality. They can't face reality. When I get to a certain age, I can't deal with it because we never taught them to deal with it when they were young. There is a reality of life that's hard. Our sons find that out very much, having to provide for himself, how hard it is to pay his own bills. He texts me the night and says, this reality thing ain't for me. Yeah, sure it ain't. Ain't for me either, but we move on. And I thank God that I have a Savior, I have a Lord I can depend upon, that when reality looks so bad and ugly, that the real reality is I'm a new creation in Christ. That's the new reality. The real reality is that I'm Christ. I belong to Him. I belong to the King. That's the real reality. Church, many of you may need a breakthrough this morning. You just need a breakthrough. You just absolutely, you need something to fall off of you that's got you bound. Maybe it's wrong thinking. It's a wrong spirit. It's just, it's a damaged past. It's a shameful present. Whatever it is that you just need broke from, we need a breakthrough. Maybe we just need a breakthrough and have joy again. The Bible says that sorrow cometh in the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Man, it's time for some joy again, isn't it? It's time for joy. I mean, like Mel said, we are so blessed. Every one of us in this room, even Beulah in her weakened condition, walked in this building. All of you can see and hear. Maybe not hear as good as you could, but you can hear. Point made. All of us, we can raise our arms. You may have an arthritic shot right there, but you can still get it up some. You can do the half praise. All of us have our senses. All of you in here have your right mind. All of you in here. May not be what it was, Brenda, but it's still there. Maybe not Doc, yeah. But we got our right mind. We're so blessed. Start living life again by what? I remember being so. Roddy, remember those days when you were younger, you and Tammy and the girls were, you know, those young days? You just seemed happy, didn't you? Life was just good. Just seemed happy. Now there's so much weight, isn't there? Life just catches up. But we can still enjoy living now, no matter what season we're in. Grandma, you can still dance in that kitchen. After you're cleaning that pan of biscuits from meat you made, you can start dancing and singing again to the Lord. And still does it. Awesome. Be happy. Stand on your feet if you would for a minute. I want to do something in closing a little different this morning. I want you to picture whatever's got you bound this morning, whatever chain that's got. What I mean by this, you are absolutely, and I've got my own in my life, that you are bound by what has attacked you or what's on you. You're bound by it. Whether it's sickness or whether it's depression, whether it's fear, whether it's anxiety, whether it's doubt, unbelief, whatever it is, it's just got you. Here's how you know. If all you think about is this, you're bound by it. If this consumes your life, you're bound by it. And you need to be set free. I want to have Jeremy just a second play this little song, Breaking Our Chains. And as the lyrics be on the screen, and I just want, it's a little short song, but I just want you, as you see these words, I want you worshiping, and I want you to envision your chains being broken. And just worship and let the Holy Spirit this morning sweep under your life and do a work in you, that you walk out of here a little lighter, a little more free. Play this song, Jeremy. Ah. Thank you, Lord.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There's power in that name, only that name.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain.
There is power. Come on. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. There is power in that name,
come
church.
Come on, you declare it.
There is set you free today.
In the name of Jesus. There is power. There is power.
In the name.
In the name of Jesus.
We know where it
envision
is.
Envision your chains being broken as the Holy Spirit descends upon your life right now. Just open yourself up and say, God, break my chains, break my strongholds, break my demons and cast them out. That I leave here not a slave, but a son. Glory.
There's an army rising up. There's an army.
Yes, there is. God's got an army.
There's an army rising up, yeah. To break every chain.
Thank you, Lord.
Break every chain.
Just let them break you this morning, church. Let them break you. Break the strongholds. Set you free today.
Rising up.
Oh, yeah.
There's an army rising up.
Oh, yes.
There's an army rising up.
Break every chain.
Lord, fill this place, Father, your Holy Spirit now. That these shackles fall. That deliverance comes now, not tomorrow. Right now, in Jesus' name.
Hear the chains falling.
Can you hear them right now, church? Let them go.
I hear the chains falling.
The chains are falling.
I hear the chains falling.
Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that we leave here set free for every heart, for every need. For we came in here so bound by life, by circumstances. But Lord, you have set us free. You have set us free. Let us leave here, Lord, changed by your Holy Spirit. That every stronghold that had us bound will remain here and that we walk out free, God, free from what's had us bound, to know that we are supposed to live life in the fullness of your joy and your peace and your glory. You are the Lamb of God. You paid a price that we, God, could celebrate life forever. For we are not dictated anymore by what the enemy says. He no longer holds the card of death, hell, and the grave. But when you came out the third day, you declared victory forevermore for your saints. And we give you praise and honor in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen and amen. Hallelujah.